Friday, so I am going to just give a little overview of what I'm doing today. In this overview, I'm going to first do just a little bit of about what the whole point of this purpose is. We're going to have a little bit of a Bible study, and then we're going to wrap it up with a prayer time. So to begin with, just a little bit about me. Maybe you're following my Instagram account because, you know, you just like the images with the verses on it. You know, that's what I post because I always find that interesting, or not interesting, but it's encouraging to me when I see images in my feed that have encouraging verses on it. So that's mainly what I post on this Instagram account. But my name is Carla. I also publish raisedtowalk.org, which is a site about the Christian faith. And I graduated from HBU in 2017, but I've been writing on Raised to Walk since 2013. So it's just a lot of different topics. And the point of my site is basically how we can draw closer to God and really seek His face, because, you know, having an apologetics background, it's important to know arguments for God, but I think the most important and the most effective evidence for God is when His people are our images of Christ. So sometimes we can get real caught up into reasons for God and evidences for our faith, and sometimes we ignore that we are evidence. We ourselves are evidence. So when we respond in a Christ-like way, that is giving a strong evidence for God. And one of the verse that I actually shared on my profile today is from 2 Corinthians 3:17, and it says, "Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." So when people see us and our lives, then that's one of the things that they should be seeing in us. So they should be seeing a difference in us as a Christian. They should be seeing the fruits of the Spirit, you know, which are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And that's a witness. And so yesterday's verse that I shared was, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads in every place the fragrance that comes from knowing Him." And that's also in 2 Corinthians from chapter 2, verse 16. So that's a little bit about my site at Raised to Walk. I just, that's one of the things I do. Sometimes it's the articles are, it's just kind of whatever comes to my mind at the time. Sometimes the articles and the essays are commentary on Bible passages, sometimes a review on books, sometimes it's a commentary on things that are going on how we should respond as Christians. So there's a lot of different things on my site, but basically that's what I do. I don't always share it as much to Instagram, but I might be covering it a little bit more in these lives. So my plan is to do a live session on Fridays at noon. And so if you can join, great. If not, then it's obviously it will be on story for 24 hours, so you can catch up then. If you have prayer requests, then just send it in and I'll, you know, we'll pray for that, whether you can make it or not. So anyway, that's just a little bit about that. So last week in this Friday session, I went over a passage in 1 Kings and Chronicles about the life of Jehoshaphat. And what we talked about then was how our associations can sometimes get us in trouble, so it's important to be able to really seek God and His direction in our lives in every area, not just the big stuff, but the little stuff too. And so that was last week. And as I mentioned last week, my reading, what I'm on right now for my reading plan in my daily devotional is actually the, my whole church is going through a 1-year chronological Bible reading plan. So that's what this is here is from Tyndale. It actually is, if you were interested in following along in that reading plan, they do have different editions available on Amazon. They don't look like this because this was like a special run for my church because they bought thousands of them. But they do have, I think it's King James and the New Living Translation, which is actually one of my favorite study Bibles. So that's an option. Or you don't have to have, if you are following along, you don't have to have any of the Bibles. You can actually go to YouVersion, the Bible app, and they go on the reading plan, and there is a one-year chronological Bible reading plan that is exactly what I'm going over now. And I do have an article on my site, racetowalk.org. If you just go in there and search one-year chronological Bible reading plan, I explain the whole thing, give links to these print versions online, and also explain how to sign up for the reading plan on the app, because we went over this in my Bible study at church like multiple times. People were confused about how to sign up. So anyway, so that's a little bit about that. So again, I went over Jehoshaphat's life last week, and this week in the daily readings, it's been actually a pretty eventful week. So like I mentioned last week, the chronological Bible is very different from your standard Bible. It actually will, you're not reading through like Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. You're reading through how the pieces fit together chronologically. So right now, the passages on this last week have been mainly in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, and the what happened with the kings of Judah and Israel. And so this week, what we've covered has been Elijah is translated to heaven. Elijah is commissioned. He begins his ministry. He starts all of his miracles, like the miracle of the oil, when he raised his patroness's son from the dead. There's what else happened? Oh, Naaman's healing. Israel goes to war with Syria. And then yesterday in the chronological reading, we hit the book of Jonah. And then today was Amos. So it was a pretty eventful week. And but what I'm going to focus on is actually about one of the few queens of Judah, which is Athaliah. And this ties into the lesson from last week on when I was talking about Jehoshaphat. And so last week I mentioned that Jehoshaphat did, it says he followed God. He tried to obey and listen to his voice, but he didn't about everything. There were certain things he obviously didn't seek God's guidance on. He married his son to Ahab's daughter, Athaliah. And there's a little bit there's a little bit of disagreement about if Athaliah is actually Ahab's sister or his daughter. But the general consensus is that it's his daughter, and people are assuming it's Jezebel's daughter as well. And so regardless, they are related by marriage. And so we see that this kind of causes problems for him the kingdom of Judah later on. So Jehoshaphat followed God. Then his son Jehoram reigned after him, and he wasn't the greatest king. He was married to Athaliah. And then after that, his son Ahaziah reigns, and he again mainly followed God. So up in Israel, which is the larger kingdom, it's a little confusing, because when I was reading this, I kind of had to keep track of, you know, who was who, because Ahab's immediate successor was Ahaziah, which is Jehoshaphat's grandson, and Jehoram was followed after Ahaziah. So you have, at the same time, there's actually two kings, one in Israel, one in Judah, named Jehoram. So you kind of have to pay attention to who's who as you're reading through this. So anyway, God had basically proclaimed a judgment against both Israel and Judah. And Elisha goes and commissions Jehu, which is, I guess it sounds like a military commander. And he tells him that he's going to be king of Israel. So Jehu ends up, this is a long story short, but Jehu gets in a war with Jehoram, who was king of Israel at that time, kills Jehoram at the same time in this the same conflict, Ahaziah is killed. So to go back and recap, Jehoram is married to Athaliah, who is Jehoshaphat's son. Athaliah is Ahab's daughter. Her son is killed, was king of Israel, and is killed. And so what does Athaliah do? Oh, I should probably mention, in this same time period when Jehu kills Jehoram and also Ahaziah, he goes after Jezebel. And she is, if you remember this story, she's up in this tower and she's kind of calling to Jehu and mocking him and like, who are you? And then he calls to her attendants and says, you know, is there a man among you? And they throw her out of the tower and she's dead. So he goes and says he kills 70 of Ahab's sons. So he completely wipes out his posterity in Israel and makes himself king. And so down in Judah, Athaliah is there. Her son has been killed. Her mother has been, I don't know if she heard about that her mother was killed. Obviously, eventually she did. She was killed. And then, so what does Athaliah do? She goes and she kills all of the, anyone that's in the line of succession to Ahaziah. So the sons, it sounds like any relatives, she just goes after them and she slaughters them all. So I was actually, just a side note, I was in a writer's group on Facebook and somebody was asking for feedback for a plot of a story, and they had a story of this guy whose mother kind of is part of this group that's coming after him and trying to make him pay for things that they think he did. And I, one of my comments was like, I just don't really, that doesn't really ring true to me. I don't think a mother would do that. And then I was reading this week and I thought, well, maybe they would. I mean, Athaliah was pretty hard-hearted and wicked and went and killed her own relatives. So maybe he wasn't so out of line in what his plot was. But anyway, so if you think your family's a mess, and just go read the Old Testament, and you'll see that there's nothing new. There's always problems. So anyway, so Athaliah goes and she tries to wipe out all of the claimants to the thrones, and she makes herself queen. So while all this uproar is going on, her daughter, who is Jehosheba, who happens to be married to the high priest, Jehoiada, takes Joash, the son of Ahaziah, so this would be Athaliah's grandson, and he was a baby, and she goes and takes him to the temple to hide him. And so her husband, Jehoiada, goes and he calls, I thought this was interesting, he called the commanders of the army, some mercenaries, and also the palace guards. And he basically kind of brings them to the temple and is challenging them as submission to God. Like, you need to, he shows them the baby. He said, this is a king. And he gets their commitment to guard Joash, the baby, against Athaliah while Athaliah is reigning as queen. And so Joash is hidden in the temple for 6 years. And it was, reading through it, it's interesting to me. Let's see, this was, I think, 2 Kings 11 and 12 that covers this part. And it was interesting to me because he had a plan. So sometimes we have a struggle in our life. We're seeing a big obstacle. People are coming against us. And sometimes it's easy to just pray to God and say, hey, God, help me. You know, so Jehoiada, not only did he want to serve God, but he had a plan for it. So he got his team, which were these military men, and he split them up into three shifts. And so wherever Joash went, he did not move without a guard around him because they were going to make sure that Athaliah could not come and kill him as well. So when it says in the seventh year of Athaliah's reign, they brought out Joash and they brought out all the commanders and they presented him to the people and they proclaimed him king of Judah. Athaliah gets wind of this. She comes into the temple and she's like, treason, treason. And so Jedidiah tells her to take her out of the temple and they kill her. They make Joash king. So it was a pretty, pretty violent, family. this was the kingdom of Judah, which if you compare kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah in the time of the divided kingdom, Judah had more of a righteous line than Israel, but still you can see that there were a lot of problems in Judah as well. And so, anyway, Joash is made king. He goes and he is there to restore. One of his great undertakings was to restore the temple, and it said that all the days of Jehoiada that Joash was followed God. And Jehoiada lived until he was up until 130 years old, and then he died. Well, after he died, then Joash didn't have good advisors. He started going off in the wrong way. And Jehoiada's son, Zechariah, not the same prophet Zechariah that wrote the book, but a different Zechariah, went to him and said, you're not following the right path. God's going to judge you for this. And so what happened? Joash killed Zechariah. So let's keep in mind what this is. So Zechariah is Jehoiada's son. He is the son of the man who saved his life, who had a plan to restore him to the kingdom. And because he was not listening to, he didn't like what Zechariah had to say about his wrongdoing, he had him killed. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, just think about, like, that just shows, like, what sin does to us. We don't want to be convicted. We don't want to hear when we're doing wrong. We are angry about when somebody else points it out to us. And so, anyway, this is just, I wanted to share this because I think it really ties into what I talked about last week. Just the long-ranging impact when we don't follow God for direction, because would this have happened? Well, how would things have been different if Jehoshaphat had not put his trust in alliances with Ahab and the kingdom of Israel and trusted God to protect them? Because, you know, Judah was just the small kingdom. It had the tribe of Judah, we think Benjamin, and maybe, and the Levites that were there. And Israel was the huge kingdom, and they had the might out of the two. And so Jehoshaphat was putting his protection in that association when actually it caused a lot of destruction. So it's really important to always look to, you know, seek God's direction and his guidance in every single thing that we do, because what we think may be a good thing, what makes sense to us, may not actually be God's plan for us, and there may be consequences that we can't see down the road. So that is just my little, my lesson for today. And, the other thing I wanted to point out, this is interesting to me. I always like to see, you know, what sort of external evidences are for the Bible. And we have a lot of them, especially when you get to the New Testament. There's just so much writing even that supports New Testament documents. But this actually is a time when there's a lot of archaeological evidence for this time period in the Bible. So some of them, there's a tell at Ramesh. Let me see. And it mentions Hazael, king of Aaron, who is one of the people that comes against both, actually, the king of Israel, or kingdom of Israel, and also the kingdom of Judah. There's some ostraca, which is actually, they're pieces of pottery that have writing on them. And they found 64 of those pieces that were from the treasury of Ahab, which is, like, amazing. There's the Moabite stele, which mentions Ahab's father, Omri, that he had oppressed Moab for several years. Shalmeshur III of Assyria, there's a stele that mentions Ahab. And then, now this is a little bit controversial. Some people don't believe this is an actual, that it's true, you know, truly from this time period, but there's something called the Joash inscription that mentions the repairs that Joash did to the temple of God. So that was a little controversial, but there's actually quite a few evidences that they found in archaeology that mentioned different people. So sometimes we have a few pieces that are actually from either Israel or Judah, but there's also like inscriptions from their surrounding area that mention these people that we read about in the Bible. So I think that's interesting. So anyway, that's what I have for today. And I am going to go down into the, into prayer requests. And so if you have anything, just make a comment and I'll try to catch it. Now, I did want to tell this story about my experience with, you know, praying and asking. I'm just going to give you this example. So we, at my church, we do an outreach and a food drive around about a month before Thanksgiving. And we go to, in front of supermarkets, and we have a list of items that the local food banks are short on it that they need. And so as people come in, we just hand it to them and say, hey, could you know explain what we're doing, and say, could you pick up a few things on this list and drop it off, and we'll take it to the food bank. So this one time, and they usually organize this by Bible study. So, you know, if you come to my church, then they kind of get you connected in these things by the Bible study that you attend. So this one year we went, and we had a ton of people come, like so many volunteers. And one of the guys said, hey, can you help me remember? He was asking people, when people donated, he was asking them if they had any prayer requests. And I was like, sure, you know. So I actually have brought my notebook that I keep notes in, and I started writing down the prayer requests as people share them. Because his plan was to, we always do take prayer requests in our Bible study, and then we have a prayer list that goes out, and we're praying for that during the week. So the plan was that we were going to share this in our Bible study for our prayer list. So I was standing there, and I thought, you know what? We have a ton of people here. We could just pray right now. We don't have to wait for to give the list to tomorrow. So when somebody gave us a prayer request, and not everybody did. And, like, this one guy dropped off some stuff, and he goes, well, I'm an atheist. I asked him, do you have any prayer requests? He's like, I'm an atheist. I'm like, it's okay. We'll still pray for you. You don't have to. We believe in God. You don't have to. We'll still pray for you. And so, anyway, I said, hey, if they had a request, do you want to pray right now? So we only had four people that wanted and or were willing to pray for us to pray with them right at that moment. And the thing that stood out to me about that is that they were all requests for other people. They very few people, there was only one person, and that was a person in our class, that asked for a prayer request for herself. And so anyway, somebody came, and we would just go off to the side of the entrance and just pray for them. And then it wasn't planned. This is just how it happened. And it just kind of, we went back and forth, on either side of the entrance to pray for people. And so after it was done, you could just feel like it's hard to explain. The only thing I can think of to describe it is like it was a portal. Like this prayer had created this, that's the only thing I think of, this presence of God there, and you could just feel it. You could just feel it in the atmosphere. And so at the very end, we were getting ready to, the next shift was coming in, And at the very end, this guy, they had come in and passed us, and then on their way out, I guess he had seen what we were doing when they went in, and he was trying to get his friend to come over and ask us for prayer. And and on the way out, he got her to do it, and she came up to us, and she said, we asked her, you know, what she wanted to pray for, and she said, I'm losing my son. She had, it was like, you see somebody and, you know, they have this flat affect. There's just, you can't see emotion out of their face. And so her son had some legal issues, and she was sure that he was going to, you know, get locked up, and just, she was just so broken down. And so this lady was there. She wasn't in our class. We were partnering with another one. She came over and she started praying. It was like she called the fire of heaven down there and just prayed for this lady and for her son and for these chains of oppression to be broken. And it was like, it was after it was done. I mean, she was just, you could just tell the difference. Like this weight had lifted. Now, the problem wasn't solved yet, but her spirit was renewed from this prayer. And I really believe that this, all the prayers ahead of time, this building up, this creating this atmosphere of petition to God and welcoming God into this area, that it was to break that stronghold so that this woman would be willing to come for prayer. So anyway, so it was just one of those times when it's just like, you know, you pray and you say words, but it was one of those times where you just really, you know, something was done and that things were put into action. And so at the very end, we go over and we're getting ready to leave. The other team has come in, and so we go over and we're praying for my friend who was in my Bible study, and she had a, this was the one prayer that somebody asked for themselves, and she needed prayer for one of her college tests. She wanted to be able to do well with it. So we were over behind the shopping carts, just in a huddle, just praying, and this lady comes over, and she just puts her arms around us, and she's joining in the huddle, and she's praying with us, and she's like, oh, amen, you're there. And so after we're done praying for my friend, we're like, hey, how are you, how's it going? And we thought she was with the other class that was coming in to volunteer, and she's like, oh, no, she's like, I was just going in here shopping, I was on the phone with my grandma, and I saw you guys come over, saw you over here praying, and so we just came over and started praying. She came over and joined us, and we're like, hey, do you have anything you want to pray about? And so she said, well, yeah, my grandma's in the hospital, so we pray for her. So prayer is powerful. So if you have I always say this to the people that are going into the graduate program at HBU in apologetics, like, you need to have a prayer team, you need to have people that you can go to for prayer and ask for prayer. And that group that I went through the apologetics program with is one of those for me. It's not my only one, but like just the other night, our dog got out, and the thought came to my mind, post for prayer, you know. So I had just been driving around the neighborhood. I had gone down the streets where I thought he might be, because this dog, I mean, he just, like, he goes exploring, and he thinks that everybody loves him, and people do, but he's this black dog, and he's kind of like a pit mix, and he scares people because they see him and they just, you know, they're afraid of him. And so anyway, I posted in my apologetics group, I'm like, hey, I need prayer. Our dog got out, we can't find him. And so anyway, right then my daughter had posted on a local forum, and somebody said, oh yeah, somebody saw him. And so we go, and he was on the street that I had just been down, and I had just looked at this in the group that it had been posted in, and hadn't been posted yet. And so anyway, we got him, but he was running from house to house. People were trying to catch him. They couldn't get him. We get him back. But anyway, the answer started to come right when I posted that for prayer. So I have a few prayer requests. My daughter has one of her high school friends, their family is going through some, I'm not going to say her name, because she didn't ask for prayer for this, but I'm praying for this. It's a little bit, not really quite sure what's going on. It's one of those things where the story coming from one person sounds like it might be reasonable, and if it is true, then it's kind of worrisome and something needs to happen. But I'm also, there's a couple of things that kind of make me pause a little bit, and so I'm going to pray for them, because for restoration for their family, but also for wisdom for me on what to do about it. You know, if I'm supposed to intervene, and if so, in what way. So that's one thing. The second one is my mom. She's actually, she's lost her sense of taste, and it's kind of, not always, but it's just like a little bit off, and it just kind of comes and goes. So it's one of those weird things. And then, I had a request come in from a friend of mine who is just, you know how you go through times sometimes when life just dumps on you, and that's basically what she's going on. She's just going through a lot of different things, for, you know, housing, for finances, relationships. It's just a lot of heaviness dumping on her all at once. So I'm going to be praying for her. And also, last thing is, I have a prayer request for myself. I did graduate from the apologetics program in 2017, but I also, from the very first semester that I entered the apologetics program, I felt like words always came up. What do words mean? How were they interpreted? And Houston Baptist also has a Master's of Biblical Languages program. And since that first semester, I felt like that was something that I would someday want to do. The live video paused for a little bit. But anyway, so I graduated, and I applied for the Biblical Languages program earlier this year, and I've been accepted, so that's awesome. That's step one. But I already have student loans that I have to pay for my first degree, and so that's not an option for this one. And I did apply for several scholarships for the Biblical Languages program, but I haven't heard anything yet. And I just saw on Facebook a friend of mine whose husband is going to be attending HBU, and he just got his letter telling him he got a scholarship, and I haven't gotten that. So I'm asking for prayer for that God works out his plan and his path for me, for however the funding is going to come for this, whether it's through the scholarships or in some other way. So I actually, like, my oldest daughter is in college, and I have my second daughter is going to be senior next year. So we just need college financing in general. And anyway, so I'm going to pray for those things. If anything else comes up and you want to ask for, you know, please do. And if not today, if you want to do one for next week, you can either send me a message, or you can post something on the live announcement post for next time. So anyway, so let's just end today with a prayer. Father, thank you so much for your blessing and your goodness. And we just plead the blood of Jesus over every single person that is connected to this broadcast today, whether they're listening now or whether they tune in later. Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus over every area of their life, and we invite in the presence of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you're just so good, and that you are so willing to give us direction and to lead us in your path, Lord. Give us a willing heart, and give us the ears that can hear. So, Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus in this situation with Taylor's friend, Lord, I ask that you bring peace to her family situation. I ask that you restore those broken bonds, and that your Holy Spirit heals their hearts and brings them together. I ask, Lord, that you not only heal them, but that you bring a community of people around them that will support them and encourage them. Lord, please give me wisdom and discernment on how to minister to them and to be a friend to them. I thank you, Lord, that you are always bringing people into our lives to help us and to encourage us and to bring us into your will for our lives. And Lord, I thank you that you are the God that heals. And so I am praying for my mom, and that every single thing that's coming against her, everything that's trying to stifle her joy and the fullness of life, that I rebuke that in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are not only a God who heals and who loves us, but that one that brings us joy. And I thank you that you are bringing that into my mom's life, and that she has enjoyment of every single thing in her life, and that nothing inhibits. And I also pray, Lord, for Erica, that you bring her peace in the storm, Lord. I thank you that you are with her, and I ask that you just not only send your spirit to encourage her and to lift her up, but that you bring her friends and support that can help her through this time of a heavy, heavy load and a heavy burden. And I thank you, Jesus, that you just love us so much, that you're always bringing those people into our lives. I thank you, Lord, that you've already worked out a plan for my life. I thank you in advance that you're giving me a direction. I thank you that I've had such an awesome opportunity already to be a part of this apologetics program and to this ministry that you've called me into. And I thank you, Lord, that I've been accepted to this biblical languages program. So I'm trusting you that you are working out the path for the finances and the plan and the logistics of it all. And Lord, for everyone who is listening today, I just pray your blessings and your peace on each one of them. And I thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so that's enough for today, and I hope that you have had a great week and that your weekend will just be a great start to the next week. So anyway, I hope you have a great day. Thanks.